We're speaking today with David Durance from Teach Beyond, and this is a ministry that is focusing on providing a solid Christian worldview in education and why that's important. We've outlined some of those the how-tos on why they do what they do and how they do it. But today we're looking at Creative Access Nations and how education plays into this and why it's so important that we support ministries that are behind this kind of a movement. So David, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Hi, great. Thanks so much, Ruth. Delighted to be here.
You know, when we were trying to find a launch point for this interview, it was not the easiest thing in the world because we were having some challenges in trying to figure out how to present the information to folks in a way that they would be interested, or in a way that would be not so much education speak and more this is where the rubber meets the road kind of stuff. So let's start with the aspect of Creative Access Nations and how education plays a role in what you're doing in ministry. Pick a nation and let's talk about, you know, how Teach Beyond functions in a Creative Access Nation.
Yeah, good. Well, it's interesting in our world, about 40% of our ministry now is in Creative Access, and that is a radical increase. So in other words, are we seeing the most growth in our organization in Creative Access? It is yes, by far. It is explosively growing, if you will. And what we're seeing is that there are sort of multiple layers of demand. In other words, opportunity for ministry in these countries seems to be happening in so many different ways and different layers. And there's a couple of trends that are coming out of this that seem to be really an example for us to follow. So in other words, as we start entering into, let's say, a Pakistan of the world, where we have an opportunity to serve alongside what God is already doing in this world of education inside the country, we're seeing that God is really opening the door for us to have to serve both the Christian missionaries that are already there in the service of their kids, but also then combine that with serving Christian nationals that are there that don't have Christian schools that can be served there as well. So there's this sort of dual opportunity. They're serving the missionary community as they serve in some of these Creative Access countries. And then there's also this secondary layer where there are local nationals that are saying, hey, we want our kids to be able to participate in Christian education. I think there's a real awakening, if you will, in many of our Creative Access countries, and thinking through how to do this in a new and fresh way where there are these hybrid learning environments. So in other words, pretty small learning environments that then provide local education. So fewer kids being sent away to boarding schools. So there's local possibilities for kids to be educated right inside the country, and then even more so right inside some of these major urban centers. And I think that urbanization of the MK school is really starting to pick up. And I think part of coronavirus, this one of the sort of repercussions of coronavirus, is that it has accelerated trends. And we've seen that in our world, that the hybrid learning environments, we have various names for them, but these hybrid learning environments that are serving these various communities are sprouting up everywhere. In fact, it sounds sort of surreal, but we probably could have 20 new hybrid learning environments every year if we had the resources to do it, and just in our Creative Access countries. And I just did a quick survey before we talked, and it just right across the map, we've been asked to do this. So it's really quite an extraordinary thing. I think it's an old, not necessarily a new idea, it's an old idea, but I think the traction that it has today is really quite extraordinary.
Yeah, that's something that is brought up on occasion with folks who are involved in a ministry or a Christian school in a Creative Access country. It's not always that there's immediate pushback against the school existing. In fact, there's frequently we are told that because the quality of education is so much higher in these private Christian schools, that the community wants to send their kids to the Christian school because of opportunities that it'll afford their kids. That's kind of what you're getting at with the hybrid schools.
Yeah. I think what's interesting as we look at across the Creative Access world, what we're finding is that there is so much need for what we call local empowerment, so that our local leaders are empowered to know where those limits are, because there are times where we can be really over in our application of our Christian faith in the school environment, even teach the Bible openly in one of our most restrictive countries in Southeast Asia. Right now is launched a fully Christian school that's openly Christian. We would never have dreamed that this was possible, but because it's in this hybrid learning environment, so in other words, a learning center rather than the school, the government is actually really supporting this and feeling like this is a positive and actually a way to kind of navigate their own laws, if you will, because it still fits within the law of the land and allows this kind of thing to happen. So as we see sort of that explosion of those types of ideas where governments are open to that, we recognize that that won't be the universal approach across all of our Creative Access countries, because there are others where we're much, much more careful and where there needs to be a living out rather than speaking out of our faith in context of delivering Christian education, even to our own missionary kids, because of some of the restrictions that we have in these countries. So we live on, I think of this, Ruth, as this continuum. We live in this continuum of delivering education, Christian education. And in some Creative Access, this means that it is the living out piece that we can do. And there are some where it can be living out and speaking out. And we need to know where those lines are. And actually what we found is when we do education with excellence, the conversation with the local governments, even with the national governments, goes extraordinarily well. Just like you were saying, there's actually an invitation to do more very often and an openness to do more rather than this shut door, because they see the quality of that education and quality of the student that is graduating out. And I think especially as we move into this hybrid where nationals are also participating in this work, there isn't this divide where it's an international school just for English-speaking cross-cultural kids, that it would expatriate kids, that it would also be for national kids. This is actually something that is a new field for us to push into in Creative Access countries, because then we're now dealing with national citizens and seeing where those boundaries lie, because there's a different set of boundaries that lie within our Creative Access world for nationals being trained in a Christian environment. And we've had to really be prayerfully seeking out where those boundaries are, knowing that we need to listen to the local leaders and understand what the governments are allowing and what they're not, and finding ways to, I think, integrate this hybrid environment where nationals and MKs are learning side by side, missionary kids are learning side by side, and finding ways to do that well, because I think that there's great opportunity and a real hunger from the church worldwide to see kids go through Christian education, especially in these Creative Access countries where they're being indoctrinated in something so different than their Christian faith at the national school. So the hunger for this is just really quite extraordinary, and we want to be a part of serving that and asking God for guidance as we deal with the very different restrictive areas within the Creative Access world. And so we live on this continuum and just ask that God would guide us through that and find a good way to deliver education that allows us to be sustainable, doesn't provide any sort of risk to the local church and our local national leaders, and at the same time pushes those boundaries to say we want to be able to as open as possible as we can.
I wanted to circle back around to something you mentioned a couple minutes back. Noted the difference between a learning center and a school, And I'm not sure if you actually meant that to be like you call it a learning center, and then it changes the way people look at the institution versus a school, which has a certain set of ideals, and it comes with maybe a definition that the government might have. Is that a game of semantics, or did you actually mean to say learning center / school?
No, this is a good question. This is actually, I think you're hitting it right on the head. I think the idea of learning centers that do a couple things can provide a school-like format, but I would say less formalized than a school would typically be. In other words, the extracurricular items might be less. There would be potentially some homeschooling that would complement what's happening at the learning environment that we have or at the learning center. And there's generally each of these countries have their own sort of idea of what a learning center is, and we have to sort of live within those restrictions. But the learning center world, let's just go beyond the school. So it's a school environment for a number of hours each day. It's an English center at night. It trains. We're just working on one in Southeast Asia that comes to my mind, where we do a bunch of English at night, and then we can use the same environments to do a number of other things, including maybe having churches on the weekend. So in other words, it's a hybrid. It's this hybrid center of activity that goes beyond just being a school. And I would say the school environment would be slightly less traditional than the K-12, one grade per classroom. It might be two or three grades per classroom. And a real creative way of, and one of the big things, as you can imagine, is bringing down the cost. So a creative way of bringing down the cost to deliver still a quality education, but within this hybrid learning environment that we call learning centers, that lets us facilitate and do more than just what a school would, and at the same time not fall within what is often a bit of a straitjacket. When you want to open up a school, there's often very stringent and restrictive requirements that governments have, and especially within creative access countries, that would prevent the kind of environments that we want to be creating.
Now, we've spent about 12 minutes trying to explain a hybrid learning environment / learning center / school, and have seen that there are challenges that are presented as the Ministry of Teach Beyond enters into these particular arenas. Let's talk a little bit about where all of this, all the stuff that we've been talking about with hybrid learning centers, hybrid schools, hybrid education, intersects with the gospel.
Yeah, that's great. We kind of go from the technical to like, what does this actually mean? And I think this is one of the things that we're seeing is the growing Christian school movement worldwide, period. And what we're seeing, I think that's been really challenging to us at Teach Beyond, I think it's been challenging to lots of us who are working in the cross-cultural ministry world, is that we need to be more creative in providing opportunities for gospel proclamation. This is something I often share with my Teach Beyond colleagues, the centrality of the gospel in every setting that we are working in. And when we actually love the gospel the way the Lord calls us to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul, that what's the second commandments? Love your neighbor as yourself. And how is that showing inside these different learning environments? And I think in our mind is that we see in gospel proclamation that this happens so effectively in community. And when people are having a chance to, yes, bring kids to a school during the day or school type environment during the day, but then having an opportunity to do informal education, to have community service, to have opportunities to just do life together in community, we find that that is where there's this sweet opportunity to share what Jesus has done for us. And it can happen in the most restrictive creative access environment. And that's what we're excited about seeing, is seeing how we can do and be a part of this gospel proclamation alongside these churches around the world by creating these centers we hope are really catalytic to the explosion of the church around the world. So it should be a blessing to the church. We should see people come to Christ. We should see gospel proclamation. It happens through these community centers. We call them learning centers, but community centers of activity that all point to Jesus through gospel proclamation, both word and deed. And for some of the places, it's really mostly deed because the word has to be done quietly and just in relationship. In other places, we can just overtly have that present and spoken to, and even inside some of these creative access environments.
What do you want people to do with this story? You know, this is not going to hit everybody in the fields. So how do we want them to be praying? How do we want them to be considering the information?
Yeah, I would say that there's two major things we need to be praying about. The first is just wisdom as people just be praying for them. It's not just our cross-cultural members, but our national members. So people from Pakistan serving in Pakistan as Christians that are trying to help lead these educational environments. And that's just one example, but there's literally dozens of those examples that we need wisdom in defining what this is, seeking out sustainable ways for us to do gospel proclamation and do this in a way that supports the church and in boldness, but also with a lot of wisdom and how to do that well. And so I think if people can be praying about that. And the second piece, as we reflect on gospel proclamation in creative access environments, one of the major things we still are needing, and this is Ruth, you always hear me say this, we just need another wave of workers, cross-cultural and national members, but especially cross-cultural members, people from the US and Canada that are willing to take this step and work overseas, because we're, you know, as we close up this year, we're just about finished our sort of cycle of recruitment, and God willing, we'll have another 100 members be sent overseas, which is something we're in awe of and thankful for. But we did the mass, as we'd say here in the UK, and we said, hey, you know, what are we asking God for? And we really feel like we need to be sending twice as many members every year to meet the need that God's put before us. So people need to be praying and then also responding and saying, wait a minute, as I'm praying about this, is this actually me that I'm praying for, that I need to respond to this? So that would be the two big things. We want to pray for wisdom as we step into very complex environments and need God to give us guidance in doing this work in these complex environments. And the second piece is that we just need to see a response from the Christian community in Canada and the USA to respond in faith and be willing to, even in this weird time of pandemic and uncertainty, to take those steps and serve overseas.